efficiency than we thought we might be. And so we're going to use it. We're not saving it in our back pockets to use where our advantages are. So, yeah, I think so. We definitely are going to take advantage of these two number ones. Don't think that we couldn't do some trade here with those two number ones. And so all of the value that you get out of having these extra picks and having some flexibility under the cap, we're going to take advantage of it. And we obviously don't have a mentality that we're dealing with a bad hand at all. I think we had some real success in free agency this year. And so that's a good one to that's a good place to start. Pickens was a good stroke. And certainly we think Williams was a good stroke. We think Clark was a good stroke. And that's not different than free agency, but acquiring top people. These guys, to the person that I just mentioned, they love football and competing the way Michael Irvin did. Each one of the ones I just mentioned are about that. And I'm including Pickens in that very much. As much as we think that he's exceptional as a player, his love of the game and his passion about the game is unquestionable. That's strong stuff.
Nick Harris, Four Star Telegram. Along those same lines, Jerry, with George Pickens, obviously an extension conversation is going to be had. Is there a priority for you guys to want to get it done sooner rather than later, or are you guys okay with taking the whole offseason?
Yeah, let's and again, those are the kinds of things, what's sooner, what's later. How bad do you want me? Does that mean that you should have been at the doorstep the other night? I don't want to get in those kinds of assessments of how much we're trying. He's an outstanding player. We don't have some of the issues that we might have had, and we are very proud of when we signed Dak. And a boy, certainly after this year, you see in my mind what a how much that meant to the Dallas Cowboys and our fans to have Dak Prescott out here. But when we signed him, we took on a real direction of doing things that are really friendly to his future with the Cowboys. Right here is a big result of that. Brian was very friendly to the future of Dak Prescott in terms of just the proximity to Brian to Prescott's career. It's important for us to protect him. Now, it's also very important that we alleviate some of the pressure of never having good field position or of the type of thing that a balanced offense-defense does for you as far as what it can do for your quarterback. But again, if it's not obvious, I think it's very plain as the nose on your face, everything we've done is because we made a choice to build and complement what Dak brings to the table. Does it mean that we shouldn't have a backup for Dak in case he's not available? We should, of course. But that's where our emphasis is, and that has dictated, since we made that decision, that's dictated a lot of our decisions around here.
And then when you guys are looking for this next defensive coordinator and having the conversations, what kind of style, what kind of scheme are you guys going to be looking for that you think can maximize that side of the ball?
Well, I'm going to let Brian and Steven, you guys answer that. I'd like to take a double handful of this guy's qualities right here and say, now that's what we're looking for over on the defensive coordinator. Real passion, real enthusiasm, great, I'm talking double great, ability to communicate with players. I'll start right there. But Brian, anything?
Yeah, and what I would say, Nick, is again, at the end of the day, we've had this conversation a lot. The best coaches, in my opinion, are flexible. So we're not going to pigeonhole ourselves and say, hey, we have to be 3-4, 4-down, whatever it is. I mean, I've been in the West Coast system, the digit system. Hell, I played for Steve Spurrier in the fun and gun, right? Good coaches take their players that they have. They've got an identity. They take their players and they fit their players into the model that fits what they do well. And that's why I go back to what I said earlier. You're looking for a teacher. You're looking for a guy that has the ability to instruct and get guys to believe and get guys to buy in. We're salesmen. When you're up there in front of the players, you're selling them on why what you're doing offensively, defensively, special teams, why it's going to work. And part of that's your personality. Part of it's your ability to communicate. But when we cast this wide net to go find the right guy for this job, which we will find, no question about it, it's going to be the things that Jerry was talking about, but also the flexibility of, hey, we can do different things, because those are the things that, when I talk with Jerry and Steven, those are the things that cause us problems, the flexibility and some of the unknowns and things like that.
We brought on with Clark, and I can stop right there because they're there. They're tremendous players to build around from the ethos of the team about football and about you want dogs, they're dogs. You want people that know what a meeting means. You want people that know how to lead, those kinds of things. And I'm encouraged about that. We've got some great leadership about football and the things, the little things that are required to go do that. That's very important, rather than wearing a hoodie at practice. That's important. It's big stuff.
Yeah, the only other thing I would add is just that, when we're looking for this guy, we obviously have, we think, some really key pieces in place. And so you want this guy to have a vision for how he's going to use Q, how he's going to use Kenny, because we've made big commitments there, how he's going to use Osa, obviously easy at the end. You got Overshown at linebacker. You got Bland. You want to see that vision, and then the vision for how fast we can get two number one picks. You know, I'm not saying we're for sure going to pick defense. If C.D. Lamb's sitting there again, you have to look at it. But we've got to see that vision for where you bring in two number one picks and get them contributing right away. I think that's going to be really key when we start to talk to these different coaches. What is their vision and how they're going to use those pieces?
But I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstood about one thing. We have got some building blocks over on defense that are serious to having a great defense. And these guys they have a talent. To be leader, you got to be talented. If you are talented and are a leader, somebody that influences your players inordinately, you got something. Dak Prescott's maybe the best I've ever been around at being the combination of that. If you could sprinkle that through the rest of your roster, you have gained on it, folks. And we've gained on it. That's what I'm trying to say. We've really, from where we were sitting here this time last year, we have made quantum leaps in my mind in the football character of our team.
And one thing I'm going to add to that, just having exit meetings with those guys, you give Q, you give Kenny an off season. Imagine the influence they're going. They're already having an influence. When I ask the guys, "Hey, who are the leaders in the locker room? Who are the guys of influence?" 4, 95, 97, 92, 0. You give those guys an off season, being around the other players, powerful.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. Jerry, you mentioned building blocks and pieces you have on defense. As you've kind of evaluated the roster the last couple of days, where do you feel like you need to add in free agency or the draft, wherever it may be? What positions do you feel like you need more building blocks in?
Steven, you can get 10.
Yeah, I think obviously linebacker. I mean, as we've mentioned, we love Overshown. I think he's a core piece of the defense. But certainly, we could use some help there at linebacker. And then I think secondary, it's always important to be able to cover the guys. And, you know, between injuries, you know, between Revel being a little slower getting into the mix, coming off his injury from college, you know, he was obviously a little raw when you first get out there and you hadn't had a OTA practice or a training camp practice. And so it took him a while. So, you know, I still think, though, we need, you know, help in the back end. And certainly, you know, obviously Clowney had a great finish to the last half of the season. And, you know, I think he's an important guy for us to add. You know, he's free to add to the mix.
Brian, Tyler Smith told us the other day that he was going to meet with you about left tackle, left guard. What was that conversation like? Did you come to a decision about where he'll play in the future?
Yeah, it was great. Actually, Tyler and I just had it, Tommy. And I was explaining to him, I said, hey, I think, you know, we feel that you're an incredible all-decade type guard. But at the end of the day, you're such a good player that at the end of the day, we have to play the five best guys. And in no way, shape, or form do I think that we can't, with a full year of Guyton and Nate Thomas and those guys and getting those guys going. But Sizz wants some direction. I said, right now you're a guard. But at the end of the day, we're going to do what's best for the Dallas Cowboys winning a Super Bowl. And that, just like we did the last three games, if we got a movie to tackle, we will. And excuse me. What I love about that is Tyler and I were able to have that conversation. He's like, it makes perfect sense. I understand.
By the way, that's why he's a core piece going forward and why we wanted to sign him. I mean, versatility is huge when you can have a player that can be the best guard in the league and also swing out there and play to a Pro Bowl caliber level at tackle. We had that in Larry Allen. I think he actually did it, and I think he was All-Pro at guard and swung out 1 year to tackle, and he made Pro Bowl All-Pro there. So, you know, that's what we think of Tyler, and as Shadi said, he's the ultimate team guy to boot.
Ed Werger, WFAA. Looking long-term at the defense, in three of the last 6 years since 2020, we've had historically bad seasons in terms of points allowed under three different coordinators. When you look at what the issues are in that regard and what the fixes could be, what do you see?
And who are you asking that?
I'll ask you. I'll exonerate Brian.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Ed. I'm going to take another drink of water.
No, I think that one of the principles that I have is I like, as I said earlier, I like people who have had some hard times in general. I'm a sucker for hard times. And then I see them with skill and with the experience, and if given a chance to really excel, then they gnaw the leg off the chair to come do it. And that's really, if you look at it, you'll see that pattern in these hires. And I don't know that we deliberately had that written down, but certainly the ability to come back and get it on. And we've got to widen that dimension, dismiss it, whatever you want to, and we can't let that criteria do it. I can tell you right now that there's a lot of reasons why that coming up off the mat is harder to do because you've had the wind knocked out of you. And you might not have the confidence, might not have some of those things. And I'm talking now generally here. But coming up off the mat, they should be heroes on coming off the mat. Boone Pickens was my greatest hero. And he got knocked down, slapped, knocked out when he was about 80. And he came back dead broke, had to fight over the china in a divorce, and fought over the china. And then turn around and 5 years later, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, and was a billionaire again. And he was so depressed during that time that he had to lift his leg out of the bed to get out of bed. He didn't feel like going. And he overcame that and went. And I said the same thing before the National Coaches Association when he was being honored, that here's a guy that knows how to get knocked down and come up. And if you can do it when you're 80 and get there by the time you're 85, you sure as hell ought to be able to do it when you're 20, coming back up when you're 25. So those are the kinds of things that were in my thinking relative to the past. And so that's why that you see the pattern, or somebody wrote in here the profile of where we are. So without dwelling on it, we're not going to follow necessarily that as a criteria profile. We're going to develop another good reason to be involved. But I don't mind telling you, it has skewed my decision-making.
When you look at what happened with McCarthy's first year, you replaced Mike Nolan, you hired Dan Quinn, you dedicated a draft that year to improving on defense. I think your first six picks, maybe eight, were all for the draft of defensive players. Do you envision that being a plan you could follow and create the same kind of dramatic turnaround in a single offseason?
Well, I'll be very candid with you. I'm not so sure. You know what we think of Dan Quinn, and we really admire everything that we had with Dan. But we didn't get where we want to get, not because of Dan, but we couldn't stop the run when it got down to the nut cut. And so there's some aspects of that. Those turnovers we had with Dan, my goodness, put me in line. I'll stand up out there for that every time. And they cover up, a lot of things about cooking. If you make it so hot that it burns the roof of their mouth, and you make it so cold that it's like hot ice, it'll cover up a lot of the frailties of your talent on cooking. And so you can put some pretty good stuff out there. Well, those principles haven't necessarily worked for us. That doesn't mean that we won't have an ex-head coach in here at all. But it won't be the emphasis, at least on my part, today and what we're dealing with defenses today. But I have had a lot of I've had a lot of good decisions made based on taking people that for whatever the reason are out of the step right then and giving them another opportunity when they have had accomplishment in their background, both in football and out of football.
Joe.
Joe Boyd, Dallas Morning News. Jerry, you talked a lot about continuity being an edge, obviously, fourth defensive coordinator in 4 years. How vital is not only getting a defensive coordinator that's successful this year, but that can stick around for a while?
I wouldn't believe we had a discussion just right before we came down here. And what is continuity? A coach that has been here 4 years and got all rookies, those haven't been here but months. So where's the continuity? Is the coach got the continuity because he's talking to a lot of different players? In other words, those players don't necessarily match up with the continuity of a tenure of a coach at all. And how do you mix match that up? I would say this, be a little careful about building a defense around a certain experience aspect to it. Be careful about having key cornerstones out there, when availability will probably wipe that out for you one or two different times, where you may have as many as two or three missing at any time in a 17-game schedule. As old Barry Switzer used to say, we're going to start over here in the east going to California. These covered wagons, I'm the wagon master. We're going to burn some of them for firewood. Some's going to die along the way. And we're going to break them down, float the Mississippi River with them. And we're going to have a lot barn on the way. This will not be the same group, but the train's going to get there. I just hope you're on it, because I'm going to be on it when it goes. So the whole point is there's a little bit of that in football. What you get started with is not what you end up with. What we're talking about is you've got to have somebody that can roll with the punch and put a theory out there that you can bring in rookies and you can bring in somebody that you've picked up during the season. How about guys you pick up the week before? We've had teams in the NFL playing with those guys. Diggs did it up at Green Bay. You got to be ready to go with that kind of stuff. And that may be a bigger adaptability issue or maybe a bigger plus to what you're dealing with as a coordinator than maybe the fact that you've been through hard times and won a Super Bowl but want to show it again.
Steven, today you guys could do interview requests for non-playoff team staff members. Have you guys made any requests, and do you have a working timeline with what you want to do for this hire at defensive coordinator?
We haven't made any requests yet. Obviously, when we get ready to do that, we'll make those and, you know, go through the proper channels, you know, to communicate with these people. And but we're still making the decisions on who we want to, you know, who we want to bring in here for interviews.
Do you have a working timeline, though?
Yeah, I think this week, you know, as this week goes along, we'll probably get to a point where we're sending, you know, sending those request forms in.
Newey. Newey Scruggs, NBC 5. Steven, question for you. What's your strategy on Javonte Williams, who you got had an excellent year for you here, and the way that whole running back market goes, especially considering what it was once we had Ezekiel Elliott and then just being able to hit on him this time?
Sure. I mean, Javonte's at the top of our list to go out and sign. And we want to bring him back. We want to sign him to a multiple-year deal. And we'll be, you know, Adam and I have been talking about it, you know, about where how we want to get started with his agent. It's my understanding he really wants to be back as well, which is helpful. But certainly that's one of our priorities is to get him re-signed.
Shadi, question for you here. Name somebody mentioned me earlier. You used to coach with the New York Jets, Dennis Thurman. Your thoughts on him, former Cowboy, possibly being here on the staff in some way at all?
Yeah, again, you know, DT was with us with the Jets. I thought, you know, he's a really good coach. But, you know, I think there's a ton of great coaches out there. And, you know, what I love is our ability to talk through and have discussions about, you know, different guys. And, again, I go back to the fact that we want to, you know, cast a very wide net. And we're going to talk to a lot of people. And why? It's an important decision. And it's a decision we're going to get right because we understand that there's going to be guys that want this job. Why? Well, we've got some incredible pieces in place. Jerry just talked about them. Quinnen Williams, Kenny Clark, Osa, Overshown, Ezeraku, talented young players like Vaughn, Shamar James. And so, again, I think it's an exciting time for us because we feel like going through the process, you know, it could be tedious. You know, it could be a lot of long hours, but that's what we love. And that's what you have to do to get the decision right.
The teaching aspects you talked about? Yeah. The teaching aspect.
DT is a very, very good communicator. Always has been. I was actually with DT in New York and at USC.
We really all are aware, everybody in here aware that we want to, and if we could have played some better defense this year, we might still be playing. We all are aware of that. But I want you to know this is not even close to being on par if we were sitting here looking at having made a head coach change. This isn't even in the same stratosphere as far as the challenge. We're going to find a good coach. And I'm not trying to diminish it at all. I just want to get it in perspective here. It should be numbers of people that can be good coordinators for us. Now, if we were sitting here talking about like we were last year and about making a change there and what have you, that rascal right there, and that decision and where you go there, that's a horse of a different color. But you can't be in this business in the NFL and not be planning on either with failure or success changing defense and offense coordinators. You can't be. It's part of it.
Backer.
Hey, fellas. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Two questions, both of the questions is for the panel in general. When you talk about the look for the defensive coordinator, Jerry, you said you guys are not adverse to someone who's not been a coordinator prior. On the back end of the season, after that three-game surge following the Quinnen Williams trade, when the defense kind of started to unravel, was there ever consideration to move on from Matt Eberflus at that time and maybe elevate someone like an Aaron Whitecotton so you could, you know, give him a real-time interview to see if he had what you guys would be looking for in that role going forward?
I think, you know, we at that time felt very strong that Flus is a damn good football coach and that we were going to work together, all of us. It's not just Matt Eberflus, okay? My name is on this record as well, and I take the accountability of that, right? I'm the head football coach. But Flus, the defensive staff, we felt like we were looking for examples, and we've talked about this. You know, we came out of a tough stretch. We won three games in a row. We put ourselves really in a very good spot to be in contention for the playoffs, and we didn't finish. And so the answer to the question is no. We were playing every week to win. And I think that, that's what we're learning and trying to do because of the high goals that we have here to want to be a championship football team.
There you go. I suppose the Dallas Cowboys press conference where, could you imagine – this was for a new head coach.
Well,
it's not what we're doing, but
I'm very
what
confused
if it was?
By that. How much time do we got time
we
here?
We have zero time.
All right.
Coming up next.
Less time.
We can react to that. Or power rank the NFL playoff power rankings. Both viable options next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through The Fan, where lots of people have lots of thoughts about what Jerry just said. One of the things is they haven't made any interview requests yet for their defensive coordinator because they're figuring out what they need, but they're definitely going to get the right person. What did they do on Monday? What did they do on Tuesday? What did they do before this press conference today? Don't know.
You also had like 6 weeks in the season where you're like, I know that, like, we got to start looking to the future.
Yeah. You were eliminated from playoff competition. And then you're like, this is the most important game of all time for a half. And then Jerry gave an answer that, how long do you say Alec was? Like 6.5 minutes?
Yeah, 6 minutes and 31 seconds.
About his message to the fans.
The 214, I spent the first 5 minutes of that conference counting the uhs and ums, and I stopped at 550.
The answers were what he would say to the fans were, we've got Shoddy and Dak.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you had those people already.
Yeah. Yeah, this didn't seem like any new, fresh approach. Although I think I took one thing away from this, really. And that was, it sounds like Javonte Williams is somebody they really want to have back.
Yes.
So I did take that away from
it. So they're going to make it a multi-year offer.
Yeah. And that sounds awesome. It's a great way to go ahead and put that out there in the world, too.
Yeah.
When he goes shopping around and see how that goes. But there were multiple times he just kept insinuating, this just happens. You lose defensive coordinators. It's going to happen all the time. Four new coordinators in 4 years, no big deal.
Yeah.
But the continuity is the players more than anything else. You got to have a group of guys on your team that are together for a little bit that know how to play together. You're constantly bringing in new faces and patchwork stuff and little Band-Aids here and there. That's going to cause problems for you, man. That Band-Aid player is a veteran that is aged out of the system because he was cheap for you. And if you go and look at the success that they've had in free agency, Jadeveon Clowney, Javonte Williams, I feel like that's where the list kind of ends. Everything else, the Cowboys got what they paid for. But it did seem like he was trying to push the, it happens, you lose coordinators, you're going to continue to lose coordinators, but we have our head coach in place, we have our quarterback in place, and now we just got to figure out how we can add to this. And no, I will not commit to, we are going to go out into free agency and add to this team defensively.
Man, I hated that part. I at least appreciate if he was being honest, but I hated hearing, and I'm not going to tell you that we're going to go out and spend all the money in free agency because I don't want fans to be disappointed.
Because of the all-in statement.
Yes.
That's what, I mean, he's, because of things he's said in the past, guys, the goal is the Super Bowl. We can do it. Where this is the team that he stopped saying that altogether because he knows that he screwed that up. And now, because he said all-in, he will not make a commitment to, we're going to go out there and kick ass in free agency for you. Because, you know what, we just don't know if we can deliver on that promise.
Here's another thing I think, and I was crunching the numbers for this when he said this. I think this organization has vastly overestimated the amount of draft capital they have. Or at least they're aware and they've vastly overstated it to the fan base. They have two number one picks. I know that. We all know that. And we all understand that. But do you realize you also don't have a second and third round pick? All right, so let's break this down. if you had,
you can get premium-ish talent. You can get premium talent in the first round.
Okay, you can. But here's the difference.
But you need six or seven players on this team.
And that is...
starters! Not just players. Yeah. I'm sorry. Starters on this team.
And that's what's kind of concerning to me. And I know people will be like, oh, you got comp picks in the fifth round. Well, so does everybody else. But if you have two first, if you look at the draft value point chart, two firsts compared to a first, a second, and a third is essentially an extra 73 points, i.e. an extra third round pick.
Okay.
So having two first round picks is more or less the equivalent of having a first, a second, and two thirds.
Okay.
And so that's good.
Which is valuable.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But the way they talk about it as if, well, don't you worry, Corey. We got two firsts. We got a high second, and we got two thirds. We got five premium picks right there. And I hate the
that's
way
disingenuous.
Yeah, that they describe that, because I don't know if they're just trying to fool the fans or themselves, because you know what I'm looking at? Do you know how many picks you have in the top 100? Two.
Yeah.
And if you want to trade those and gobble up a whole bunch of other picks, you could do that.
Yeah, from the 469, don't you think Jerry ought to wait until he gets his defensive coordinator in place and then get his input on what kind of players he needs? Yes. I agree with that, but it doesn't hurt to say we're going to be very aggressive when we get our defensive coordinator. We're going to be very aggressive in getting the players that he needs to make this thing successful. Very easy to say that.
Yeah.
I don't want him just to be like, yeah, let's cast a wide net and be like, yeah, we're going out. No, you want to make sure you got players that can do it and a system that can work. But at the same time, didn't Schottenheimer just tell us the best coaches are the ones that say the system be damned?
Yeah.
I want good players, and I'll figure out ways to make those guys work.
And man, did they get a big old chuckle about Schottenheimer not having input on this defensive coordinator, which I think is the wrong way to play it. Because now I'm like, all right, Shoddy, Joneses, you get to pick another defensive coordinator. You really did screw up that last one. Whereas I felt like you could have actually protected Shoddy a little bit there and be like, yeah, because of the nature of the timing of it all, this is going to be all Schottenheimer all the way. That sells something to your fan base. But instead of everyone being like, ha, ha, ha. Of course he had a say in it. All right, so you've made a terrible choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But this time, you're going to get the choice right. And you already mentioned it. They said they've had great success in free agency. No, you didn't. You got Javonte Williams and Jadeveon Clowney, which I think we're all pretty happy with. But then the thing that they say that drives me insane. Well, you have to remember, we got Quinnen Williams and George Pickens. That's like free agency. No, it's not. You can do both things. You can still make trades, like the year before when they made their two trades that we thought was really good value.
And we said, take another step.
Yeah, and they were like, that's what free agency is. You can do both. We've been through this a million times. We've easily created $70 million in cap space for the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm glad that they traded for Quinnen Williams. I'm glad that they traded for George Pickens. But you can still bring at least Pickens back and still be active in the free agency market. You can still be active if you want to trade off some more of those fifth round and comp picks. You can do both of those things.
By the way, the comp picks are usually early March. So for people that are and was like, hey, when do they usually announce that? Comp picks are usually early in March. And it usually happens like right around the legal tampering window.
Yeah.
I love the word legal tampering.
Sure.
So right around that time.
I would be willing to guess you get a couple of fifths out of that. Two fifths, I believe.
And you can
will
definitely
have.
Use those to trade up for seconds, right?
No.
Right?
You can trade them now. The other thing that they did mention real quick, they talked about Kenny Clark as part of their future plans. So I realize he has no guaranteed money and you got to rework some stuff there. But you brought it up. Javonte sounds like he's going to be part of their future plans. Kenny Clark sounds like he's going to be part of their future plans.
He's a leader.
Yes.
He's one of the big voices in that room.
And then that's where you start to drift into kind of Rangers territory, where it's like, we're going to improve from within. And I hear him about Quinnen Williams and Kenny Clark in the offseason becoming more of a leader, and I appreciate that. But at some point, talent factors into.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and this team has lacked it in many places.
Yeah. Well, so Caleb Downs just declared for the draft. Hope and pray that he falls down to pick number 12 and you can add him to your safety corps. I do not believe that is going to happen whatsoever, but that's what I would hope for. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. Plus, would you sue your ex-wife over this? Next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the C-Block coming up in about 15 minutes. But right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah.
Yep.
877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney's text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, would you sue your ex-wife over this? A former NFL player is. We'll get to that here.
Oh, yes. I know this story
in
now.
Just a little bit.
No, I wouldn't. I'd be like, tell the world.
Yes, I would be like, please spread the word. But we're going to look at the National Day calendar, gentlemen, as we always do. Today is I Am a Mentor Day.
Oh, I do that.
Yeah. So shout out to Kevin, I guess.
And Ling.
That's right. It's also I'm Not Going to Take It Anymore Day.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
If you're fed up Twisted with somebody, sister. Something, yeah, that's right. Just look them in the face and say, I'm not going to take it anymore.
All right, Adrian, when I get home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm telling one of the kids.
Which kid?
Ooh. Lucy.
Surprised you didn't say the grown man in your house.
I'm fed up with it.
Oh, man.
That makes me sad.
You need to eat these vegetables.
Oh,
that's valid, though.
Yeah.
That's valid.
They're good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what else is good for you?
Also, that kid needs a job. You're right. He definitely does need a job.
He's not a kid anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, not a kid anymore.
Grown-ass man living in his parents' house.
Oh, man. Your son would hate me, then. Your son would hate
me. Oh, yeah. Man, can you imagine how Alec's dad feels? Get him on the horn.
You hear Carter. He's going to see Alec, and he's just going to be like, oh, my gosh, this guy.
And I have a job.
The news broke, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah. That is true.
And you do have a job. That's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Broke it.
Yeah. We'll see if I can afford the news that I broke. But it is National Bobblehead Day as well.
Oh,
so,
nice.
A big day for baseball fans, specifically, if you ask me.
How much would you like it if someone, like, as a gift, Alec made a bobblehead of you?
Oh, that would be so cool. I'm jealous that our boss, Tim Collins, has one of himself on his desk.
Yeah. I think, doesn't Spittle have one, too?
So everybody has one?
Yeah.
But me. I don't have one.
Oh.
Well, they're management, though.
Yeah.
So you got to have management money to
get
a bobblehead.
Yeah, we're just dudes.
I'm far from that.
We're just dudes.
Yeah, we're just guys. We just hang out and exist. It's National Pass Gas Day, speaking of dudes.
I heard that you pass gas on average 15 to 25 times a day.
That's concerning.
Whether you know it or not.
Wow. It's very concerning. I don't like that.
What do you think the answer should be?
Like 5?
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it feels like a lot of it is predicated on your life decisions, a.k.a. your diet and what you're taking
what
in.
What your gut's doing.
Exactly. So it's like, I feel like, if you are eating healthy, some of the healthier things out there, like a lot of protein-based foods and snacks, will definitely do it to you. You know, like the protein bars? Yeah, not friendly to the
gut.
Like
these ones that Broadus got that he said tastes like sand.
He spent
a little chocolate drizzle.
That's what he's... Oh, my gosh.
He spent 5 minutes opening the show yesterday talking about how, hey, if you get some sandpaper, that's what it tastes like.
Dude, you know what else he admitted, Kevin? He was the one that stole all of Mike's bars.
He did.
Oh!
He admitted it yesterday.
Did?
Yeah,
I didn't hear that.
You know, Mike would complain, and I'd bring boxes in.
So mad.
But
that is hilarious. Sorry,
gentlemen,
Mike.
We are going to focus in on this day. It is Harlem Globetrotters Day. And I had the pleasure of meeting a bunch of them and seeing them when I was a kid. But I'll admit, now, watching as an adult, I'm kind of like, yeah, cool. So, just because, like, so many people have done that stuff now. Like, Dude Perfect exists, and YouTube, just in general. So I'm like, okay, I've seen cool, like, basketball tricks and sports tricks. So, 877-881-1053, what is something that amazed you as a kid that just doesn't hit the same as an adult? Because I would say, really, any kind of, like, prop routine act like that. Like, the Globetrotters, you know, they called me up on the stage and spun the ball on my finger, and I thought that was amazing. As a kid, I was like, mind blown. How do you do this? And now as an adult, I'm like, I see people do it on TikTok all the time and stuff. So I'm like, eh, like, I appreciate what they do and I respect it, but it just doesn't hit the same anymore. It just doesn't hit the same. And also, ventriloquists. They just don't hit the same anymore. Even the funnier ones that are, like, adult-geared, like Jeff Dunham, Terry Fader, who's been on the program, like, stuff like that. I'm like, it's funny, but I just see it as comedy. I don't see it as much as, like, an amazing talent act as I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, I told y'all I wanted to be one growing up. I thought I was going to be a ventriloquist for a long time, many, many years. Like, probably
So you would have been singled down that path, too.
Gee, thanks. I'm just kidding. All right, coming up next on the KNC Masterpiece.
No.
The C-Block.
So for me, this is going to sound weird. It's the greeting card now. Now hear me out. Ooh. Because when I was a kid, it was endless possibilities. Could it have money in there? Could it be probably then a gift certificate? And now I'm like, this is for my aunt, hoping I'm doing well. There's nothing in there. So I become really disillusioned by the card. And I'm like, great. I'll hit you back, Aunt Barbara. Where's my Target gift card?
Double Dare and Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was a kid, I was like, oh, my gosh. I bet stepping on that set, it's like the most amazing thing in the world. And then whenever I got older, I'm like, oh my gosh, cleaning yourself after all that and digging through that dude's nose or the big pizza or whatever. Oh, that would just be annoying.
Oh, can I add another one then? The size of baseball players. Man, the first time we walked into a clubhouse, I was like, what is this? We're maybe the tallest people in this place.
Yeah, but Joey Gallo did.
Except for Joey Gallo,
whoa!
Nomar Mazzaro is pretty big.
Vlad made me feel short.
Yeah, for the most part, you walk through there and you're like, man, I could be the third tallest person in this.
There are a lot of short baseball players.
Yeah, I like how you stare right at me as you say that. You were
probably thinking,
well, you were probably thinking, Majors, huh? You know, Alec probably feels like the shortest person in the clubhouse every time, huh? Yeah, except for when the Astros come in town.
Oh, man.
Because of Altuve.
Yeah. I do have a 1-inch height difference above Jose Altuve. I want that to be known. I think it might actually be two.
I always like you more.
Oh, thanks.
And he could have lied about his height.
It's true.
Yeah, he also could have. He lied about a few different things. 877-881-1053. Things that were amazing as a kid that just don't hit the same as an adult. From the 469 ESPN, that's interesting because I'm right there
man,
with you.
Oh, man, because SportsCenter used to be just an absolute stop down. Yeah. And now you're like, I knew that like 4 hours
Somebody
ago.
Said the zoo?
Yes.
Do you still? I can't wait to see the giraffe.
See, I still like the zoo, but part of the reason is because
the lions don't fight enough.
Is so amped up, and he's like, it's a giraffe! And he just thinks it's amazing.
So you see it through your child's
eyes. Yeah, and you
get
some secondhand enthusiasm.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there.
I could use some of that in my life. I like that. From the 214, the public pool doesn't hit the same. Agreed.
Yeah, because you think there's always going to be a hot lifeguard. And now you're like, but I'm too old for that either way, so I need to leave.
And I'm also on the Athena line of thinking. I just don't like people sometimes. Mm. And when there's a massive crowd and there's like toddlers running around screaming and everything, and I'm just trying to like walk from point A to point B at said public pool, I'm like, this is annoying. But from the 817, this is uber specific and I like it. SpaghettiOs.
I do not know the last time I've had spaghetti.
Me neither.
I had some recently. They were cold because Lucy had left them. And I was like, what do they taste like? And I ate them and I was like, it's exactly what they tasted like when I was a child.
Okay.
And I liked them as a child.
Yeah. They didn't really progress.
Didn't change my world.
A whole lot. Okay.
I wish it would have, though.
All right. Huh.
From the 817, my stepmom. What do you mean by that?
What's up with her?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
What's the matter with you?
What is she doing? I don't know what's up with her. That's why I was asking. What if she's a widow?
You know what you did.
And then from the 703, having a sports car, I disagree. I still want a sports car. I think they're cool. You know who probably has a sports car? Former NFL player Matt Khalil. He is suing his ex-wife, according to TMZ. over comments she recently made on a popular live stream. In November, his ex-wife Haley sat down with streamer Marlon Garcia for a discussion where she reflected on her marriage to Khalil, and nothing she said garnered more attention than when she compared, I would just say him, to two Coke cans.
New York Post says suing model ex-wife over invasive manhood size.
Yes, I like that verbiage right there.
Comments.
And that their romantic incompatibility was the, quote, biggest factor in their divorce. So he is suing her for saying that out in public. But I ask you, would you sue your ex-wife for telling the world that you are equivalent to two Coke cans?
You're the modern-day Milton Berle.
Yeah, how is he not paying her to get that information out?
Okay, so here's, I don't know. Here, what if,
I guess she said they got a divorce because of it. That's too big.
What if that's the thing?
Yeah.
What if that's the thing, though? Like, women really are like, that's too much. And now they're avoiding it because of it.
If I was a woman and I saw that thing, I'd be like, whoo, not tonight, buddy.
There's some size queens out there that are hunting, you know? But, like, what about the ones that are like, that's, no, can't do that.
Open your eyes, women!
Thank you, Mike, for that.
And that's my time.
That was
glorious. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Guys, what do you want the attitude of your defense to look like next on The Fan?